because this message has to get out to help people to understand how to avoid the seduction and to stay pure in a world of deception. Get on our website, saveus.org. Tell your friends, Romans, and countrymen about what we're doing and become a partner. Send your gifts by faith again to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views. And, well, of course, for the next hour, it's going to be the views of Bob Chapman of the International Forecaster as we explore what is really going on in the world today. And it's really very, very simple. You have to understand that an industrialized society runs on credit. And if you cut the credit off, in other words, people can't borrow money, why, of course, the whole system collapses. This is exactly what happened in 1832 and 1833 and culminated in 1837, when, of course, the banks totally decimated the American economy, and certainly whole communities were suffering. People had lost their jobs, impoverished, their lives were ruined, and of course there was a sense of gloom all across the nation. And certainly President Andrew Jackson talks about that in his farewell address. If you haven't read my May and June newsletters, you'll want to, and you'll want to read my July newsletter, which will be done very, very soon. You can actually read the entire farewell address in our syllabus called The Financial Armageddon. Or you can pull it down on the Internet, but be very careful when you do, because they put intentionally abridged versions of it. In fact, if you go to the Internet and you were to Google in, you shouldn't be using Google, but if you were to Google in President Andrew Jackson farewell address 1937, why, at the top of the page there is a copy of the farewell address. But you'd never guess what. It's an abridged copy. And what did they abridge? Any mention, of course, of the machinations of the financial elite, who at that time were trying to take over control of our government. Well, why did they delete that? Well, because I believe that the financial elite controls our government today, certainly through the machinations of the Trilateral Commission. They control almost all of the major banks in the world. In fact, I would simply point out that if you get the membership list of the Trilateral Commission, and that's included in our syllabus, the membership list of the Brotherhood of Darkness, you'll find out that the president of the Bank of Israel and the president of the Bank of Canada, the Central Bank of Canada, are both members of the North American branch of the Trilateral Commission. Why is the president of the Bank of Israel a member of the North American branch of the Trilateral Commission? Very simply, because the Trilateral Commission interlocks with all of the major banking interests in the world today. And for all intents and purposes, they control our world economy. And certainly it's not simply by accident that between 1976 and the year 2008, why, of course, actually three of the four chairmen of the Federal Reserve Board that controls our economy came from the membership list, very small, never more than 80, 85, of the North American chapter of the Trilateral Commission. Ben Bernanke's a low-lying member. He's just a member of the Bilderbergers. But let's get to our special guest this evening. Hi, Bob. How are you doing?
Well, pretty good.
All right, fine. Well, why don't you bring our listeners? Remember, this is the different audience that we have this afternoon. So what's happening to the economy? Are those green shoots really coming up? Are things really on the hill? Are things going to get better? After all, the market's going up, isn't it?
Well, that's true, but I inspected those green shoots and found them to be poison ivy. And the rally that you've seen, especially in the last 3 weeks, is a rally that is gone forward on extremely light volume. And it went a little bit further than normal values have gone.
Hold that thought, Bob. Rallies. Hold that thought. We'll be right back with Bob Chapman. Go right ahead. You were just saying, of course, that the market went up with very light volume, which means obviously it did not represent a demand. It was more a matter of manipulation. And of course, certainly a small volume but dramatic rise means somebody, to me, is manipulating that market.
Yes, that's our government. Based upon the three rallies in 1932 that sent the market up some 65-70%, this one's close to it. I didn't think it would reach as far because the situation is worse now than it was during that early period during the 30s. And so I wasn't surprised at all. I predicted the rally, but not quite as far. It will turn around over the next 3 months, and I think that, and as we've spoken before, that what we'll see is problems continued in the financial sphere. The problems that we've seen over the last 2 years, I think, will be surmounted by ever bigger problems, particularly in the dollar. The dollar on the USDX index, which is an index, has six major currencies weighted versus the dollar. And that index is 89.5 at its height. And we told everybody that we thought that was the top, that if you were long the dollar to switch and go short. And as it turns out, we were right in the last 2.5 months that USDX index has fallen down to 78.5 or so. And I suspect by the end of October, it'll be back down to 71.18, which was a bottom previously about a year and a half ago. And I think as we approach that, what we're going to see is that other nations, particularly people in commerce, are not going to accept the dollar. They did that before, not in any major widespread basis, but this time I think they will in a wider basis. And I think that will put big pressure on the American economy. And I think that it could be used as an excuse to have a very short bank holiday, 3 or 5, 7 days maybe, in order to see what the public will do in reaction to not being able to pass a check or use an ATM card or debit a credit card or access the funds in their bank account.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back with Bob. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Bob was just talking about the fact that he thinks there's going to be a bank holiday. When do you think that might be, Bob?
I would say in all likelihood probably in October.
All right.
And I think you'll also hear stirrings of perhaps the beginning of another front in warfare by the United States, perhaps even Israel as well. Where it'll be, I don't know. Iran seems like a good choice. This is based on history and what these people have done in the past in order to divert the attention of the people in the United States away from their economic and financial problems by having a war. And when you're worried about whether you're going to live tomorrow, it's a very, very important event. And that's the way it was in Israel for years, where people, if you ask them, what do you think of the economy? They don't worry about the economy. Worry about whether we're going to be alive next week. And so that would be the concept, and that's why wars very often are started. And so I think we're looking at those scenarios. I think we're going to see hyperinflation. over the following 2 to 3 years. And during that time frame, I think the dollar will collapse down to 40 on that USDX index. And that will mean from current levels, or levels of 2.5 months ago, that would be a drop of perhaps 55 or 60%. And so I think that's where this is all headed. And once that happens, the dollar will have to be devalued. But my guess is that they'll have a meeting similar to the Smithsonian conferences of the early 1970s, or similar to the Plaza Accord of 1985. And I think they will devalue and revalue all the currencies in the world against each other. And, of course, during this process, there will be devaluation and not any revaluation of these currencies against gold, because they're all fiat with the exception, in a small way, of the euro. And so I think defaults will be arranged as well, because it just can't be sorted out. They're so great. And so I think that there'll be a $1 for $3 devaluation, and I think, and that would be against major currencies. And I think the price of gold will finally break out and find its true level, which probably is somewhere between $3,000 and $7,000 an ounce. And based upon official inflation since 1980, that figure would be $2,400, $2,700 an ounce. And the reason it's not there already is suppression by the United States government, the people who control government from behind the scenes. And but I think that will be eventually surpassed, and will probably go over $6,000 an ounce. And there'll be great consternation throughout the world. It is not going to be a happy place.
All right, fine. Well, I think it's vitally important that people understand that certainly we're headed into very, very difficult times. Contrary to what everybody's trying to make the American people feel, our exports are down, our production is down. We've got somebody around 25 million people unemployed. We've already had 4 million people lose their homes. Another 2.5 million homes are in the process of foreclosure. About 500,000 homes are going into foreclosure every month. The Obama administration is playing a good game, but they're not really trying to solve the problem because they want to create a chaotic situation. When you understand that, it all makes sense. Why do they want to create chaotic situation? Well, they want to create chaos all throughout the world because they believe out of the chaos will come the one world government. And that's what it's really all about. They want a one world government, a one-world financial system, a one-world currency. They want to destroy Christianity and have a one-world religion and install a new world leader. That is the ultimate end game of the what I call the Brotherhood of Darkness. Well, Bob, let's talk a little bit about what's going on as far as the earnings. Now, of course, we hear how wonderful the earnings are of our banks, Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan Chase, and my goodness, that's why the market's going up. But are our major corporations really making money, or are most of them actually losing money today?
Well, that's a difficult thing to say because of all the things that they are doing to hide the problems that are on their balance sheets and off balance sheets as well. But I think the key is the fact that the FASB, Financial Accounting Standards Board, backed off on their requirement that corporations mark their portfolios, their balance sheets, to market. And instead of doing that, it would be marked to model. And the difference is this. Marking to market is a security is worth something that's traded on a usual basis. So you might have a bond that you own, say $1 million worth of General Electric bonds, and let's say they trade at 900, which is at 90% of par, and so you mark them to the book, and that way you own $1 million, so they're worth $900,000, they're worth $100,000 less than what you paid for them. But marking to market model is different. This is where the value of the securities are not easily known, and you can give them a value whatever you feel like it. And that's what's been going on. And you get banks that are holding collateralized debt obligations, which are bonds which contain mortgages, and they might carry them on the books at $80 or $800, $800 a piece. And when in reality they're trading at $300 a piece. And so the people are being deceived. They're also using accounting procedures that are doing things that are totally illegal. But the government looks the other way. The SEC looks the other way. It's all for the whole, keeping the system running until hopefully they can find some way to salvage what they've done. But the salvage operation really isn't realistic. All the operation is bent upon is timing as to when they are going to go further into a hyperinflationary depression and when that's going to end and they're going to go to a deflationary depression. And those things will play out over the next 3 to 4 years. And the economy is not going to recover. If it does at all, it'll be minuscule. The real estate problems in the United States won't end until the end of 2012. And we've got ALTA loans. We've still got pick-and-pay loans, which are option-arm loans. And now we have the problem of people with good FOIC scores who are losing their jobs, and they can't make their home payments. And 50% of the recent increase in foreclosures have been in that category. And people with excellent credit cannot get credit to buy a home. And it's not going to change because banks have money and they're not going to lend it because of their balance sheets. There was a 2.8% decrease in lending over the last quarter from the first quarter. And credit is the lifeblood of the system that we've used for the last 100 years or so. And that's not working out very well because they're not lending enough. And so, with that said, it's spreading into the small business area as well as into personal borrowing as well. And so you have people with lines of credit for credit cards that are being dropped from 5,000 to 2,000. You have people who have good private companies that are doing well, and they can't get a loan, and they have to go scout around and see if somebody else will loan to them, even though the loan problem or payback is covered 3 or 4 or 5 times what the value of the loan is. And, you know, I have subscribers who have written to me and told me of their plight, and so I know these kinds of things that are going on. So anyway, credit is tight. It doesn't look like in the immediate future it's going to loosen, although it will in time, I think, and that's what's going to eventually trigger the hyperinflation that has been already put into the system through monetization, with the Fed creating money out of thin air to buy treasuries and agencies, which are Fannie and Freddie paper, and the CDOs that the banks own. And it's interesting that the Fed will not tell anybody what the value of the securities are that they're buying or who they're buying them from and where the money's going. And and so I hear the music.
You do, but I think that people have to understand that the Federal Reserve System is a privately owned central bank. It was established to enrich the bankers. It's owned by the major banks. And, of course, now the Obama administration is saying, well, we need to regulate the banks. Let's have the Fed, you know, regulate the banks. Well, that's like, you know, asking the wolf to figure out who's stealing the sheep. And, of course, Congress can't find out, and the Bloomberg, you can't find out, the courts can't find out. The Federal Reserve System is above the law. It is really a part, an extension of what I consider the Brotherhood of Darkness that controls our nation and is moving us towards war and destruction. Well, go right ahead, Bob.
Well, the war and destruction is already underway in Iraq and Afghanistan, in Pakistan now as well. And as
gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that will protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances? Even things which can cause sickness or disease. If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
in Europe, and squalene is not authorized. Why? Because it triggers an autoimmune response, and this is what they had. And the vaccines that they gave during the Gulf War were over a third of the young men there had their lives destroyed. Well over 10% of them are already dead. If you doubt that, we actually have the report from the Veterans Administration. It was as of January a year ago, where they reported of the 690,000 boys who went over there. Just slightly less than 80,000, that's well over 10%, are no longer living. That means they're dead, no longer living. And that, of course, I believe is directly related to the squalene they put in the vaccines there. And now they want to give it to all of us. I wonder why. Why are they going to not have plenty of time to actually check it and make sure it's safe and there's no reaction? Oh, no, we have to do this now. You might die if you don't take the vaccine. Ladies and gentlemen, you may very well die or be crippled for life if you do take that vaccine. And they won't tell us what's in the vaccine. But now they're going to do about a two-month trial and then unleash it on the whole world. What sort of madness is that?
Well, they did the same thing in the early 70s with the swine flu epidemic, and they had to answer, I don't know, thousands and thousands of lawsuits. And they also did it in 1917 and created what is called the Spanish flu, another one of their experiments. Military people were injected, and most of them were injected in Europe, and they came back to the United States, and it spread all over the country. And my grandfather died from it. My father almost died from it. And had that happened, I wouldn't be here with you on the radio today. And so it was pretty widespread and pretty devastating. And so this is the things that have been done and are being done by the people who control the United States government from behind the scenes. And also, as Sam mentioned, the profit motive. The major shareholders in the pharmaceutical companies are the foundations and the very wealthy members of the Brotherhood of Darkness who control these entities for all intents and purposes, and they're going to make a lot of money from governments which are buying these injections for the public. And so there's a giant profit motive here as well. So there's always a number of things that configure into what these people are doing. And you got to remember, you know, Stan and I and a few others are voices in the wilderness, because they have thousands and thousands of people working 24/7 around the world to create situations where they gain more power and more wealth. And of course, this time around, they're going for it all. They're going for one world government.
They certainly are. Well, let's get back, of course, to our financial considerations. And what about gold and silver? What's happening to gold and silver? Incidentally, I'm going to put out our telephone numbers. They're 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Certainly, gold and silver were up was a year ago, January. Then, of course, they began to fall last year. It got down not terribly low, but they lost a lot of course, of what the inflated value, and now they seem to be on the way back up. I saw gold look pretty good this morning. Silver was up over $14 an ounce. And how did the end of the day, do you recall?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I have the closes right in front of me here. And the closes in the outside contract months, which are in this case for gold or August and September for silver, were similar. But gold ended up 10 cents on the day at 9353.50, and silver rose 11 cents to 1398. I believe this is only the beginning, and I believe over the next week or so, silver could move up slightly, but I don't see any great gains, and I'll tell you when we come back why.
All right, fine. Well, of course, people have to understand that the Brotherhood of Darkness, working through the Working Group on Financial Markets, manipulates the oil market. They drove the oil market up last year. They drove it down to precipitate the depression. They've had it up here up to about $70 an ounce, a barrel. I think they're going to probably drop oil to about $25 a barrel. I think the price of these things are coming down. The world is awash with oil, but they manipulate gold and silver, commodities, the stock market, and the average individual has no idea what's really going on behind the scenes. Well, this is Dr. Stanback here. Our guest, of course, is Bob Chapman from the International Forecaster. We were simply talking about the manipulation of the price of gold and of silver, and really some of the commodities, and certainly they are all manipulated. The world is awash with oil. They've got so much oil in tankers all around the world, they can't unload it because there's no place to unload it. But they can't tell the American people that this is all manipulated. It is all an illusion, all a delusion. You pick up the story, Bob.
Well, it's all part of a larger plan. And as I was saying in regard to gold and silver this week, I think they might be up slightly. And the reason why is the U.S. Treasury is going to market to sell $253 billion worth of Treasury paper in 1 week. Nothing like that is ever heard of before. And, you know, were they to do it on an annualized basis, it would be in the tens of trillions of dollars. And I think they're going to have to do something like that.
Well, no, wait a minute. Where are they going to get buyers to buy $253 billion worth of Treasury bills? I mean, certainly a lot of the countries in the world are very, very concerned about buying our paper, buying our bonds, because they're not sure that the dollar is stable. And certainly the Chinese have mentioned that. And I'm sure the Arabs and the other major sophisticated investors are very concerned about what we're doing.
Well, I think what's been going on, and of course, because the Federal Reserve is private and so secretive, I think the Fed for a long time has been buying U.S. Treasury paper through offshore locations, such as the Cayman Islands and London, etc. And I think the figures that we're seeing on foreign governmental buying of treasuries, I think those figures are bogus. And I think that they're going to continue to do that by saying we have this tremendous participation by foreigners, foreign central banks, that just perhaps purchase 65 or 70% of all of these treasury bills and notes, et cetera. And
hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan, I guess, is Bob Chapman. Our telephone number, if you'd like to call in, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And Bob has simply been talking about the fact that this coming week there's going to be something like, was it $253 billion worth of Treasury bills, Treasury notes, Treasury bonds that are going to be up there for to be sold, and where are we going to get the money? Why, what Ben Bernanke's been doing is sending U.S. dollars, I mean, $500 billion to foreign central banks, and then we get their currency in return. And I believe those foreign central banks are going to be buying our bonds to try to keep the interest rates low, because if they didn't buy them and they actually had to put them out for open bid, it would drive up the cost of the interest. In fact, I think, in essence, that's what Ben Bernanke admitted the other day testifying before Congress, but I don't think the average congressman, the average congressman, commentator had any idea what he was talking about.
No, I think you're right. The Grayson did, and so did Ron Paul, but they're exceptions, and they are going to continue to create money out of thin air to buy treasuries, and also paper of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, which are called agencies, and in addition, the collateralized debt obligations, which are being held by banks, and they won't tell you what they're paying for them, and that's very important because, you know, the American taxpayer is going to be left with the bill, so to speak. And so this is going to continue, and this is a process which eventually, and sometimes immediately, leads to hyperinflation. And we're also seeing with the Fed going into the Treasury market and buying large amounts of Treasuries. The week before last, they bought $80 billion worth. Last week, they sold $30 billion. But that's still in that 50. And what happens to that is that money goes into the 21 dealers that work with the Fed and the Treasury. And in a conference call every morning, they're giving them marching orders. And like J.P. Morgan, you're going to go in and buy spiders and drive the stock market up. And Goldman Sachs, you're going to go in and you're going to suppress the gold and silver prices and so on and so forth. And that's where that money goes. And that's what they're doing with it. And that's why the stock market has rallied, that bonds have remained relatively strong. But I do believe, again, bonds are breaking down. And I think that the false rally that we had, like on the 10-year Treasury, which went to a yield of just a shade over 4% from 2.35% in January, and then immediately went back to 3.45%, closed at 3.72% today, I think that structure is breaking down again on that false rally. So the Fed has a multiplicity of problems along with the Treasury. They have higher interest rates coming, which is anathema to what they're doing. They have some monetization going on, which is going to continue to keep inflation at least in the 8 to 10% area before hyperinflation visits us. And they have a stock market that's going to start to go down. And unless they've got lots of gold and silver, they're going to have a heck of a time trying to keep the price of gold and silver down.
All right, fine. Well, before we go on, and we have Tom calling us from Spokane, but before we go on, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get a copy of the International Forecaster and perhaps go ahead and subscribe to it. Once again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Go right ahead.
Well, the International Forecaster is about business, finance, economic, social, and political issues all over the world. We publish on Wednesdays and Saturdays. Runs around 35 or 40 pages each time. We have a hard copy that goes out twice a month for those who are not on the Internet. And you can get the free copy by going to one of three places. Our site, theinternationalforecaster.com. The International, F-O-R-E, CASTER.com. You can email us. That address is Bob, B-O-B, at INTFORECASTER.com. That's Bob at INTFORECASTER.com. Or you can call toll free 800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188.
All right, very good. Well, let's go to Tom, who's calling us from Spokane. Again, our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Hi, Tom. How are you doing?
Hi, Dr. Stantz. I'm doing great, and I appreciate you having Bob Chapman on tonight. He's just the guy we want to talk to. I remember he used to appear on Pat Kiley's program, and just as of late, Pat Kiley has disappeared off the face of the planet. All of his investors have been left holding the bag, and nobody knows what happened. They've frozen all the assets. Nobody knows where their money is. And I wonder if he could add some insight as to what in the world has happened here. And is this another Ponzi scheme? Is this another Bernie Madoff thing? Because nobody's given us any answers. So I wondered if he might give us some insight as to what the heck's going on, if he knows about it.
Well, it was about a year and a quarter ago I discovered that things weren't the way I thought that they should be. And I was instrumental in having about over 100 people withdraw their accounts from Pat's company. And there were probably about 30 of them that didn't. And now they're sort of wandering in the wilderness. His radio program's no longer on, nor is his site. I don't know where the funds are. I don't know how much they are, but I suspect they're $50 to $100 million. I did get some information via the internet today that the organization in Switzerland, which had held their investments, had been in liquidation, but it had been in liquidation for some time. Perhaps 6 or 7 or 8 months. And if that is the case, and that's where the funds are frozen, then I would suspect that Mr. Kiley and the people who worked with him were not fully truthful on the situation regarding the value of the securities that they held, which have also been frozen by court order. And I don't know whether it was a Ponzi scheme. I don't know whether they stole money. I don't know whether they defrauded the public. But something is wrong. I just don't know yet exactly what it was. But, you know, having been in the money industry, we'll call it, for 50 years, I just smelled that something just wasn't right. And that's why I recommended to subscribers what I did. And fortunately, the great majority, more than that, perhaps 70% of them exited. And thank God for that, because today we don't know how much money people will get back or if they'll get anything at all.
And I would say, Tom, do not let somebody else invest your money for you. I always figure that I can lose it as well as they can. I really don't. I've been stung so many times. I learned one thing, and that is when people talk about money and Christianity together, you run the other way. People want to talk about investment, that's fine. People want to talk about Christianity, I'm a Christian. But when they begin to combine the two, why you really want to be suspicious. I have been cheated so many times by people who profess to be a Christian that, well, right now, of course, we just don't invest with anybody, and I'm really much happier that way. I just don't have to worry about their integrity. I know about my integrity, but I don't know about theirs, and if you've got your money invested with other people, get it out.
Well, unfortunately, we had it invested with Kiley, and now we don't have a clue, and there's so many people I know that did. I didn't subscribe to Bob's letter, but I sure as heck wish I had, because if I'd have known about this, I'd have pulled out at his suggestion. So, but I appreciate his candor and his in giving us a little. We that have invested, there's several people here in Spokane that I know of, at the amount of about $1 million combined. We have no clue as to what's going on, and nobody will give us any information. So we appreciate the little bit of information Bob was able to give us.
Well, if you will email me, okay. I'll send you out last Saturday's. Is it Saturday?
No, you didn't send one out on Saturday.
No, it was Wednesday, and we have some articles from the Minneapolis newspaper.
Yes, yeah, I've got those articles.
Oh, you have them. Okay,
I do have those, but it still doesn't. We the investors have no clue as to where we stand. and how do we get our money back and all that kind of stuff. So.
Well, you may not get your money back. That's the problem. That's why, first of all, you don't want to be investing with other people, number
yes.
one. And secondly, you want to diversify, diversify, diversify. So if you lose part of it, why, you know, you're not wiped out. Anyway, God bless Tom. And
well, thank you.
Keep us appraised of what goes on, okay?
Thank you, sir.
And I'm terribly sorry. I know that's a terrible thing to happen, but I hate to say it, but, you know, I've been stung so many times that, I figure I can do just about as well as these other guys can. Let's go to Ron calling from Santa Cruz. Again, our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295, and this is not a time to be investing in the market or get rich fast schemes. Hi, Ron. How are you doing?
Hi. Good evening, Dr. Stan and Mr. Chapman. I'm so thankful for the two of you. I have a question for Mr. Chapman, and it goes to silver. Do you see a likelihood that silver could separate and break away before gold? And the reason for the question is that it seems that the central banks don't have a silver stockpile to backstop the short in the like bullion that the central banks are doing with the gold reserves.
Well, you're right. They don't have any large inventories, and the two banks that have been shorting silver in a big way and have been allowed to do so by the CFTC, which is crazy. And all I can say is, at the behest of the U.S. government, the CFTC is in on the scam. But the key is the physical market. And with hyperinflation, silver could break out, and they would not come close to controlling it. How much gold, on the other hand, central banks have that they're now willing to lease or sell remains to be seen. In the last year and a half, I've seen lots of instances where there has been an occurrence of coin melt appearing in the international markets. And the only people who ever dealt in coin melt, with the exception of some gold that the British had that they had sitting around since the 1840s, the United States government is the only one with coin melt. And so they don't have what they say they have in gold. I believe because they're selling coin melt and they've been shipping it out of the United States to the buyers who process it for a good delivery, which it's not in its present state, they have been shipping it out of the United States as a gold or a gold alternative or something of that sort. I forget the term that's used, but they've been spiriting it to the buyers. And so that tells me that they've reached close to the bottom of the barrel. I don't think the U.S. government has any gold left. And if they do, they don't have much. There are other large gold holdings among central banks, but I don't think the U.S. has much left. So there's not that much overhang. And if you notice the sales over the last 9 months by the European Central Bank Consortium, it used to be called the Washington Group, and they agree each 5 years to sell 500 tons maximum a year. And I don't know how much they've sold this year, but it's probably something in the order of 135 or 40 tons. So they don't seem too anxious to sell gold anymore. In fact, some countries have been buying gold. So, you know, you've got two edges to the sword here. Very little inventory on silver, an explosive short position. You've now got an explosive short position again in gold by the commercials who are working with the U.S. government. And gold breaks out, silver breaks out, they're going to go crazy. I mean, gold could quickly go to 1600, and silver could quickly go to 45 or 50 bucks.
Could the CFTC actually get to a point where they limit positions in precious metals altogether?
I couldn't quite hear your voice.
You want to know whether or not, of course, whether the CFTC, that's commodity finance trading board, whether they could actually limit trading at all.
Yes, they can. Anytime they feel like it. In fact, they put, back in the 1970s and early 1980s, they had position limits as well as the amount of silver could go up and down in a day. And they called it lock limits. In other words, they might say silver can only go up 50 cents a day. And of course, it did eventually get up to close to $50. And so you could have 10 lock limit days up in a row, which would be a substantial amount of money. And if you were short, you couldn't get out. And that's what happened to the players in New York when the Hunts and others together started taking delivery of the silver. And they didn't corner the market. They just normally went about their business of buying silver. And today there's virtually no silver around compared to what there was then. So it's very volatile, and the upside is large in both metals. And unfortunately, because of the state of fiat money throughout the world, we're stuck with this situation.
Well, we're in for it. Very difficult.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And let's go, of course, to Bruce calling us, Spokane. Our guest, of course, has been Bob Chapman, the International Forecaster. Hi, Bruce. Do you have a question for Bob?
Yes, I do, Dr. Stan.
Go right ahead.
Well, Bob, I'd like to know, you know, how you advise somebody to partially divest their mother's investment.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. Hold that thought. Go right ahead, Bruce. You were asking about partially divesting your mother's investments.
Yes. She's with a major stockbroker who's successfully brought her investments from 800 down to about 500,000.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a one-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value, plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 3:16 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. 1-800-730-9796, or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-7-
Kylie. Anyway, thanks.
Well, he's got some good things to say.
Oh, I'm sure he does. I mean, but when somebody says good things and then they want your money, why they want you to invest with them, just be awfully, awfully careful. I mean, I've seen some of the.
Well, I like your statement that you can lose your own money just as well as anybody else can, because
I got lots of experience.
We've all done it. Let me tell you.
Well, yes, and believe me, I have done it many times too. And, you know, nearly been shattered by it, but you just get up and go again.
That's all you can do. Hey, we're out of time. God bless. Thanks so
okay,
much,
God
Bruce.
Bless you.
And, Bob, thank you so much for being with us. We'll look forward to having you with us again next week.
Goodbye and thank you. Bye-bye.
God bless. Bye-bye. Okay, well, these are difficult times, ladies and gentlemen. An awful lot of people are going to get wiped out before this is over. If you have any money invested with somebody else, get your money out as much as you can and put it into something that will maintain its value as we move into this period of chaos and crisis that's coming. It is coming. If you haven't heard my talk on the financial tsunami, I gave it 3 or 4 years ago. It comes with a syllabus. You need to get it. You need to get our talk on the financial Armageddon, and that comes with a syllabus. You need, of course, to study about what has happened in the past. We've got a great book called The Coming Battle. It was written in 1899, 110 years ago, by a lawyer who talked about how the banks were going to work to take over control of our government. We carry the book, The Money Creators, written in 1935 by Gertrude Kugan. Goes into the background of how the banks create money out of nothing. We have a little pamphlet called The History of Money. It's very inexpensive. Have a little pamphlet called The Financial Meltdown. They're just compilations of my newsletters, but they're well worthwhile reading to understand who controls the world banking system. And then, of course, I certainly carry the book The Creature from Jekyll Island. We have, if you want to know who controls the world, you need, of course, to get Pat Wood's excellent DVD, The Trilateral Commission, and how they created the current financial crisis. Believe me, 3 of the 4 prior chairmen of the Federal Reserve Board that controls our economy, that is between 1976 and 2008, 3 of the 4 came from the membership roles of the very small a trilateral commission, certainly 12 of their people. There are only 87 people in the North American group, North American chapter of the Trilateral Commission. One of them is the head of the Bank of Canada. One is the head of the Bank of Israel. Those are the central banks. And then, of course, 12 of them are on the Obama administration, directing our foreign and financial and military establishments. The head of National Security, Admiral Blair, is a member. Certainly James Jones, the chairman of the National Security Council. His assistant, Thomas Damalon, is a member of the Secretary of State, about 6 members of the Secretary of State, the Secretary of the Treasury, the American Ambassador to the United Nations. It's all one little club that controls what's going on. Did you ever wonder why the Obama administration gave a major automotive company for no payment at all to a Fiat motor company, to an Italian motor company? Why did they put it up for bid, get the highest bid? Why did they give it to Fiat for nothing? Well, of course, if you get my syllabus, the membership list of the Trilateral Commission, you'll find out that the CEO of Fiat and the assistant CEO of Fiat just happened by chance. Just by chance, I want you to understand this. I mean, there's no conspiracy at all. This is just happening. Just happened to belong to the European branch of the Trilateral Commission. And the Trilateral Commission controls the economy of the world and interlocks with all the central banks. And the fact that nobody is telling you this simply reflects the degree of control that exists over what the American people think. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. read our newsletters at Radio Liberty. This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Chalene Nightingale. That's C-H-E-L-E-N-E, Nightingale, who is running for the governor to become governor of the state of California. And the state of California today is about the eighth largest economy in the entire world. And if California were a country, we would be number eight in production. And I don't know about debt, but we would certainly be number eight in production. And Salida is going to be running on the American Independent Party slate. Chalene, thank you so very much for being with us tonight.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Why don't you tell us just a little bit about yourself, who you are, what you're doing, and why you are running to become the governor of the Titanic, I mean the state of California.
Actually, you know, I was just listening to you in the beginning. Do you know we've fallen to the we're still a large economy, but we're now the 10th largest economy if we were an independent nation.
You mean we're falling like a rock, huh?
We are falling. Well, I was actually recruited by leaders and members of the American Independent Party to run, and I will admit, at first I declined. I was hesitant. I was point blank with them. I am not a political candidate. But then the more I thought about it and discussed it with my family and pastor and friends, I said, that's the reason to run. I'm not a career politician. I am a regular citizen, California citizen, American citizen, who is completely frustrated with the fact that our elected officials are more interested in earmarks from special interest groups than listening to the constituents that voted them into office. So that is why I'm running. Who I am is I'm a former managing director of a nonprofit group called Save Our State, and that's saveourstate.org. They are an establishment that was created by Joseph Turner, who was probably most well known for being the original author of a city initiative which Hazleton, Pennsylvania, probably most famously adopted to help the city curtail the problem of illegal immigration. So I've done that. I've lobbied in Washington, D.C. and in Sacramento. Of course, I've lobbied as an American citizen, not a special interest group. I wasn't paid to do it. It was all volunteer. And I'm a homeschooling mother, and my husband and I are business owners. And I also, I work as an actress as well, so we're your typical American family. We multitask in order to survive these days, and most Americans are doing that.
All right, fine. Well, first, being an actor, actress certainly gives you a great advantage. Certainly, Ronald Reagan was the greatest actor. He never got an Oscar, but he certainly should have. He was a magnificent actor, and maybe that'll prepare you at least somewhat for a very difficult position you're going to be putting yourself in. But certainly, having run for political office a number of times myself, I certainly sympathize with you, and I applaud your effort to try to make a difference. And the important thing is that Your message, I think, is going to be very important. And when we get back, of course, we'll be talking about what Shalene stands for and certainly her attitude towards what is going on in our country, in our state, in our communities today. America is under attack. The enemy is certainly not in a cave in Pakistan. He's not sitting in Tehran or certainly in Beijing or in Moscow. Our enemies are in New York City. They're in Washington, D.C. And they have a different dream of America. And, of course, it is not the America that we were brought up in. Well, Shalene, what basically is your political platform?
We are going on illegal immigration, education, economy, and rights. And here in the state of California, we have a page that's dedicated to state rights, and then I dedicated a page to your rights as a, you know, voting citizen. So that's what we're running on. We also have environment, but not environment in the way that the oligarchy system, you know, would want us to think. We are obviously opposed to the whole global warming scam. Environment is mostly a water issue that we have here in California, and also the overcrowding. I mean, overpopulation is not just from the illegal immigration, but certainly is the major cause. And so that's what we're running on. And I will make sure to give out the website so people can go and read more. But everything that we came up with was just the things that we as frustrated Americans are constantly complaining about day to day.
All right. So what is your position on illegal immigration, and how, if you were the governor of the state of California, would you influence that? Because, of course, it's said that we may be actually spending even up to as much as $10 billion a year on financing the illegal immigrants in California. We probably have far more than any other state in the union.
We do. It's actually $10.5 billion per fare. And that did not include, I think, everything. I don't think it included education. In fact, there was an economic advisor report that said that the average illegal alien, you know, this economic advisor put it in numbers that were small so that we could get a comparative figure. So he stated that average illegal alien receives $8 to $12 in public services in the state of California. However, they only pay $1 back into the system, which results in a special tax difference of that $8 to $12, and that creates billions of dollars for the legal Californians. So it is astronomical. Here in L.A. County alone, actually, it's over $3 billion just in L.A. County. It's just an astronomical figure. So obviously the first thing we would do is secure our border. You know, we can call a governor can call the National Guard, and that is what needs to happen. We need to ask for the National Guard. We need to make sure that we support and defend, you know, our Border Patrol agents. And also there's a great California Taxpayer Protection Act, which I am fully supporting. It is taxpayerrevolution.org.
Hold that thought, Shalene. Yes. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Shalene was just outlining her platform. She's going to be running for the governor. Her first platform, her first plank, is illegal immigration. Her second one is energy. They're concerned about the environment, but mainly about the water problems we have here in California. And then, of course, this idea of states' rights and individual rights. So it's a five-point program. We basically were started out talking about the issue of illegal immigration. And Shalene pointed out, and rightfully so, that the illegal immigration costs the state of California over $10 billion a year. Now, you have to understand, the state budget was about $140 billion. They pared it down now to about, $95 billion. She points out that certainly in Los Angeles alone, it costs $3 billion a year just to take care of the illegal immigrants. And, of course, she believes, of course, that how much welfare are they getting? Where are they getting their tax dollars from?
Well, that's an interesting question, but there was, I was telling you during the break, there was an economic advisor who broke down the numbers into, you know, comparative figures that the average citizen could understand. The average illegal alien receives $8 to $12 in public services, but they are only paying $1 in taxes, only $1 to receive $8 to $12 of taxed services. So that results in a special tax to the legal taxpayer in the tens of billions of dollars per year. I mean, that's, you know, astronomical. You know, they don't, you know, when we heard the propaganda, you know, well, you're getting cheap tomatoes and lettuce by them working here. Well, that's just exactly propaganda. No, it's resulted in billions of dollars in taxes for us. I find that incredibly expensive lettuce and tomatoes. But there's this excellent, and I really want to give a plug to this. It's one of my solutions. I'm helping the two gentlemen that helped create this. It's the California Taxpayer Protection Act. That is taxpayerrevolution.org. Again, taxpayerrevolution.org. I invite everybody who is listening to go to that website. If you live in the state of California, download petitions, sign petitions, get your friends and neighbors and associates to sign them, and then send it in to the address that's on taxpayerrevolution.org. We have until mid-November to gather all the signatures. We're trying to get 600,000 signatures. We only need 485,000 to qualify, but we want to go above and beyond to make sure if there's any errors or discrepancies, we have extra. So, but we need to do this by mid-November. If you live outside the state of California and you want to be able to donate to a very worthy cause to help save America, taxpayerrevolution.org is certainly one of them. So I totally support that. I also
what does it actually involve?
Taxpayerrevolution.org actually will curtail benefits. It requires that everybody, you can be born here in the state of California, but it's actually going to curtail benefits to even anchor babies. In fact, some people have labeled it, you know, the Anchor Baby Initiative. It will just stop, you know, benefits, welfare benefits, public welfare benefits to illegal aliens and their children. And just to kind of give you some sort of figure, in Los Angeles County alone, the increase of illegal alien children receiving public welfare benefits has increased every month since the beginning of this year. And I believe in 1 month, I think it was something like $500,000 in 1 month of the public benefits that they're receiving. And there was an additional, I think, $500,000 or $250,000 in food stamps. So that's, you know, you add that up by the end of the year, illegal aliens and their children are taking our benefits and we're paying the taxes on it. So this California Taxpayer Protection Act would curtail that, which, of course, would decrease, we've heard various different estimates, but at least a couple billion dollars per year for taxpayers.
Well, Shalene, basically, many years ago, we voted on Prop 187. It was overwhelmingly accepted by the citizens of the state of California. It is still the law of this state, but everybody ignores it. It was tied up in the courts. And then when Gray Davis got in, he refused, of course, to pursue this, and Governor Schwarzenegger has refused to pursue it. I mean, that is the law of the state. Why don't we just simply revive Prop 187, which is officially the law of this country? It's never been overturned, certainly by the Supreme Court or anything else.
Well, that's why we, the people, need to run for office. That's why I'm running for office. As long as we continue to vote in special interest candidates, they're going to work for special interest and not for the people. That's why people like me, people like you, your listening audience, they need to be encouraged to go run for office. Even if it's just the local water board, city council, it doesn't matter. We need to run. And that is why I'm running in the state of California, because I am not a special interest candidate. I would ensure that Prop 187 was, you know, the law was enforced. I would make sure that, you know, if taxpayer, this California Protection Act is, you know, put into law, that's also enforced. And see, that's what's just happening. These these candidates, these politicians, once they're in office, they're paid rather, you know, a lot of earmarks, money, millions of dollars per year to vote against the American people. Well, that doesn't entice me. I don't care about money. I don't care about it at all. If I did, I wouldn't have worked for 4 years for free in a political movement. I was managing director for Save Our State. I never received one dime. When I lobbied, I never received one dime because I really, truly don't care about that. What I care about is making sure that we have a country for the future of our children, our grandchildren, our nieces, our nephews, because at this rate, if we continue like this, they are not going to be living in the land, you know, home of the brave, land of the free. They're going to be living in just a UN-controlled communist state, in third world poverty, and that is what we need to stop. And we are at a point where communism, socialism hasn't taken a total hold of our country yet. We still have time to save it, but now is the time, and we can't look the other way, and we need to stop voting the lesser of two evils. I don't understand that philosophy. Evil is still evil. Even if it's less, it's still evil. I mean, think about it. How is this working for us? Voting for somebody just to keep somebody else out. It doesn't make any sense. Now we're in trouble.
Well, you mentioned that point two was the economy.
Yes.
What are we going to do about the economy of the state of California? Certainly, we just passed this $26 billion reduction. After the previous reduction, we brought the budget down from about $144 billion down to about $95 billion. So that's really a dramatic, almost a $50 billion reduction. But now we're told, oh, shucks, you know, we're still not getting in as much as income tax as we thought, and we're not getting as much sales tax as we thought, and we're not getting as much gasoline tax as we thought, and they decided not to steal that money that belonged to the cities and the states from, the cities and counties. They were going to steal that money, but of course there was such an uproar they backed away from that. But if you were the governor of the state of California, what could you possibly do? Certainly, our unemployment is over 11.5%. Certainly, the situation is industries are closing down in California. As you know, the large General Motors Toyota plant up in Milpitas is going to be closing, one of the larger manufacturing plants in America. Oh, certainly, the money for startup companies and IPOs in Silicon Valley is drying up. And so how can we possibly get the economy of California moving? How can we possibly have a balanced budget? What are we going to do?
We the people can repair this misrepresentation and fix our economy. But first I want to point out the following, the points you made, but I also want to add to it. In 2005, California had the third worst business climate in the nation. Today we have the worst. We also are the home of the nation's highest business taxes, and we punish our employment, punish our employers. And this is also a very important note. The cost of state government has grown by 40% since our current governor took office. So with that in mind, these are my solutions. One is to implement a 5-year freeze on all state salaries, pensions, hiring, taxes, borrowing, and institute real spending limits. Another thing is to return the legislature to part-time status. I mean, our legislature is out of control in the state of California. I mean, they sit up there putting in 10 new laws a day, laws that we don't need. They're wasteful spending. I don't think the voters know this. When I was doing my research, I was appalled at the wasteful spending of our government. Our government in this state owns a golf course and a mansion on Malibu, some beach house mansion in Malibu that just sits there. I mean, there's more. I mean, the wasteful spending is just out of control. So those are the things that we need to do. Return the legislature to part-time status. Drastically reduce the business taxes. We cannot lure businesses here as long as we are the worst, highest tax to businesses. That is why they're leaving this state. They can't afford to stay here. So we need to offer them incentives, lower the business taxes. Once we can lure them there, then obviously they can hire within our state. You know, reduce worker comp costs and benefits, and don't penalize businesses for creating jobs here. This is what we need. We need to make California a profitable state for businesses, and then businesses can create jobs for our citizens.
But, of course, you know, we get lower the taxes, we get the companies back, and the legislature then raises the taxes again. I mean, certainly as long as the Democrats control the legislature, they're just going to keep voting in more and more and more spending. That certainly if it weren't for the
governor can veto. The governor can veto, and trust me, I would be vetoing anything that they would try to pass if it increased the citizens' taxes.
All right, fine. Well, we're going to be back here in just a moment. Thank goodness, at least, that the Republicans have held out. They would have increased our income taxes. They would have driven even Tony Bryant out of the country. We'll be right back. That's actually Toby Bryant, who is, of course, the basketball player.
Yeah.
He's, he's making, I don't know how many million dollars a year. But basically...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four tape or a four CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets, a little protects your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verky water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verky water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. 1-800-730-9796, or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Normal water management, because they supposedly want to save the smelt or the fish or whatever it would be. But, of course, as I simply pointed out, and I think Charlene agrees with this, a lot of this talk about environmentalism and concern about the fishies and the fauna, and it is really a fraud. I mean, their real objective is the destruction of our economy. There are people who hate America, and they use the environmental movement as its means of disrupting anything that is logical. Building of power plants in America, in California, very soon we're going to have a lot of blackouts in California. It's coming again. They blocked nuclear power. They want, of course, to prevent, you know, certainly any sort of a generating plant that uses water to cool it, and that means they're going to have to close down all of our nuclear plants. And the reason for that is it heats the water. Well, of course, that's why they use it, to heat the water. Well, that disrupts the environment. They don't care about the environment.
They don't care about the environment. And I've been really, in fact, my team and I, and like I was telling you during the break, Dr. Stan, my whole entire team are just a group of concerned Americans. None of us are getting paid. We are working for free. We are hoping to make a difference. And as we're studying, we're getting calls from supporters, mostly in the North and some farmers, agriculture people, who are just astounded on the fact that these environmentalists, of course, are talking about saving fish instead of saving lives. But as you just pointed out, in the past 4 years of being, you know, involved in politics as an activist and working in a nonprofit, they're not concerned about humanity. The communists, the socialists, that's the last thing they're worried about. As you said, their top priority is to destroy a constitutional republic. They don't believe in capitalism. That's what they're setting out to do. I learned, you know, 3-4 years ago when I was standing out with a sign saying stop illegal immigration, and people were calling me all sorts of false, you know, names. And then they were crying out for humanity when that was, you know, silly, ridiculous. It is not humane to encourage and entice people to go through a desert and die, or to pay coyotes, to be abused by coyotes, to come over here to work as slaves. There's nothing humane about that. Well, it's the same with the water issue. When they're crying out, oh, we're just trying to save the fish. No, what you are doing is you're disrupting the water system. There's a whole political football, you know, game, it seems, between the North and the South with the dams. So my team, we've been looking into privatizing our water sources, and we've been hearing pros and cons, but at this point, that's mostly what we're looking into is seeing if we can privatize and if that would work, because certainly having the government control our water is definitely not working.
But you have to have government regulation, because if you give a monopoly to the water company, they'll triple the water costs. So you have to balance.
You have
the
to
whole
have regulation.
Thing.
It has to be a balance.
It
absolutely
has to be a balance.
There does have to be a balance.
And, of course, this whole idea that they came up with a few years ago, we're going to privatize electricity and drive the prices down. We're going to bring in competition.
No, it actually is against us. So there has to be some regulation.
Right.
So it's definitely something that we've been talking with. We have a great supporter, if he's listening. Hi, Frank. Up in Northern California, who's been talking with us about some water options. We've really been doing our research on it, but this is a huge issue. And I didn't realize how huge of an issue it was until my friends and family in Central California, have a lot of them, said, Shalene, the water. You have to do something about the water. So this is something we definitely want to look into, but also we have a lack of resources in our state. Once again, we're overcrowded in this state. We're the most populated state. We have certainly the highest population of illegal aliens. So once again, you know, curtailing public benefits to illegal aliens, you know, will encourage them to self-deport. And we need to free up our resources, because we're certainly tied up. And we're going to end up, you know, and I know people don't want to hear this, but we're going to end up like the overcrowded, you know, India and China when they were, you know, losing resources. And that's what's happening here. So we need to do something about that.
All right, fine. Well, of course, our guest is Shalene Nightingale. When we get back, we'll let you know how to get in touch with her and her campaign as she is running for governor of the state of California. And, of course, she's presenting her basic platform on illegal immigration, on the economy, on the environment, certainly on water. And we'll be talking about a couple of the other things when we get back here in just a moment, right here at Radio Liberty. Well, Dr. Stan, of course, our guest is Shalene Nightingale, and we're, of course, talking about the race for the governor. It's not going to be coming up until next year, but it's a very important position, certainly. Actually, we've gone from, I guess, from sixth largest nation in the world, California, to the eighth, and Shalene tells me we're up to number 10. Is that right?
Yes, we're now the 10th.
And that's the 10th. Well, we're falling and falling rapidly. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Shalene Nightingale, running for the governor of the state of California on the American Independent Party ticket. She presents a very interesting ticket. We're going to get back in just a moment. But right now, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And we have Ruby on the line from Live Oak, but I'm going to ask her to hold on. Shalene, I want you to get your website out. Tell people how they can get in touch with your organization and if they'd like to help, how they could do it.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you for allowing us to be on, by the way. It is Nightingale for Governor, and I will spell the last name. It's N-I-G-H-T I-N-G-A-L-E forgovernor.com. So nightingaleforgovernor.com. You can also email us at contact at nightingaleforgovernor.com or Shalene, C-H-E-L-E-N-E, Celine@nightingaleforgovernor.com, or you can call us at 310-237-5590.
All right, now the first thing you have to learn about radio is you always give your telephone number at least twice, so go ahead the second time.
Okay, 310-237-5590.
Okay, I hope you got that. Let's go to Ruby, who's calling from Live Oak. Hi, Ruby, how are you doing?
Hi, I'm fine. I'm listening to your show and trying to write down and catch all the points that you're making. The one thing that I am very interested in is, I'd like to ask the prospective governor, or whatever she wants to call her, candidate.
An American.
Mrs. Nightingale. What is your stand on abortion and euthanasia? And this is something that is very, very important to me, and my vote for you would hinge on that. So I'll take my answer off the air.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. First of all, I believe that we all need to have our own personal rights. This is what I believe. But as a Christian, I definitely am pro-life. So that is, my values come from my faith. So however, those are not really usually state issues. That's really a federal issue. But I know people are always interested in what a candidate personally feels. And that's where I am.
All right, fine. Of course, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Certainly, this is a little off the subject, but I think maybe some people would want to know about this. How do you feel about the right of the people to keep and bear arms? The Second Amendment,
absolutely. In fact, we have a states' rights page, and one of those are, gun possession is a state right, property rights, state right. So we have that on there, and also we have a Your Rights page. And if you go through the Your Rights page, you will see everything that we are for, and one of them, of course, is the right to bear arms, bear to carry, possess, transport arms, anything used in battle or to best another. And we have that right on our site. You know, I'm the daughter of a military veteran. He fought in the Vietnam War, and I grew up, I guess you call me a military brat. So I am very much, very patriotic and very much a constitutionalist. I, was a big supporter of both Ron Paul and, when he left the race, Chuck Baldwin, who are both very strict constitutionalists and both men of faith. And those are two people that I definitely respect. So, anyway.
Well, that's a pretty good recommendation, because both of those are personal friends. Well, let's get
well,
right
like
down.
I like them both.
Basically, let's get down to the issue of states' rights. Now, that was one of your platforms?
Yes, we added it. We felt that with the rights diminishing in our country, that it was really important, especially in the state of California, which, by the way, is almost on the bottom. There's a report, and I'm sorry, I cannot remember the website, but there was a website that did a report on the freest states in the nation, and, of course, we were almost dead last. So we felt that it was really important, and, the 10th Amendment reads, "The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution nor prohibited by it to the states are reserved to the states respectively or to the people." And that is what our campaign is all about. We are about we, the people. The government is supposed to be, for the people, by the people, of the people. And we're certainly not in, that's not where we're at today in our government. Now our government is controlled by banks, special interests, globalists, the UN. And we really want to take it back for the people. And, the two men that are your friends, Ron Paul and Chuck Baldwin, those two men inspired me greatly to want to restore our Constitution and our rights.
Well, I certainly applaud that. Now, I'm going to ask you a couple of difficult questions.
Okay.
And I'm not even sure I know the answers to them. But again, once again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Now, one of the big financial drains on our state is the prison system. Now, I know we actually did a program this afternoon where one of our supporters, who's a friend, who actually was commenting that although the people of the state haven't been told, we are in the process of shipping prisoners to other states because it's so much cheaper to take care of them there than it is here, that certainly a number of the new people hired by the prison system have already been given pink notices that they're going to be laid off. What are we going to do with the most rapid growing industry in the state of California, probably the only growing industry in this California state, and that is the prison system? What are we going
to
do?
Well, first of all, and this is where we have to go back to illegal immigration, and when people get angry, oh, you blame illegal aliens for everything. Well, unfortunately, when you have illegal aliens that are becoming increasingly the highest population, or the fastest growing population, excuse me, they are the population that's in our prison system. And believe it, 67% in our state prisons are illegal aliens in this state. So I really, that is the one thing, there was a law that never became a law. They tried to put it on. It was Jamil's Law. I don't know if you or your listeners had heard of it. But there was this rising football star here in Los Angeles. His name was Jamil Shaw Jr. And he was gunned down by an illegal alien who had just been released from jail. And instead of going to ICE to be deported, he was put back out in our streets to go and commit another crime, this time murder. We need, in this whole entire state, Jamil's Law, period. When a police officer, law enforcement, sheriff suspects, you know, has a suspect, they need to ask for their citizenship. They need to ask them for ID. If they are not a citizen, they need to go to ICE. And ICE, the federal government needs to take care of them. And that is the reason why we have such an overpopulated system, because our federal government isn't taking care of their federal issue. They are allowing, they're talking about amnesty, they have our borders. I mean, come on, we may have Border Patrol agents there, but they are overworked, they're understaffed. The illegal aliens are pouring into our borders, they're very poor, so it's being encouraged, and then the federal government doesn't want to take care of the problems that are associated with it. And in this state, one of those problems is our prison system. So that is the one, you know, right away, that's the one solution that comes to my mind, is in allowing, as governor, allowing the enforcement of our laws and our law enforcement, encouraging them to ask for citizenship. That would drastically reduce the number that are in our prison systems.
No, in other words, what you're going to do is get a lot of our state prisoners shifted over to the federal system and let them pay for the problem they created.
Let them take care of the problem, absolutely. They're the ones creating the problem. They need to take care of the problem.
Well, of course, the reason that they don't want that is they don't want to take care of the problem. They don't have the money. We've got over 2.5 million people in prison in the United States today. That's more than even they have in communist China. All of their brutality there, why, of course, we have more people. Actually, more people, not proportional, but more people in prison here. They only have about 1.5 million people. We have 2.5 million people. We have to ask ourselves why. Why is one in every 100 people in prison today, adults? Why is every one in every 30 Americans in prison, probation, or parole?
It's called
consequences.
Right? It's called consequences. You know, I don't know much, if your listeners are going to appreciate this. However, our founding fathers created, based on a Judeo-Christian system, our Constitution and our country. That is what it was based on. That was what it was founded on. We the people. We have, God was in our schools. We had prayer in schools. God bless America on our money. God was the center of it. And then you had people that came along that said, you want to know something? We don't like this God. We want to remove God. So we're going to remove God from our society, and we're going to do what we want. And what it's resulted in, unfortunately, is, you know, higher divorce rates, higher crime rates. You have, you know, and I'm not blaming single mothers. I don't want anybody out there to think that. But, you know, when you have single parenting, it's really hard for them. They have to work. They can't take care of their children because they have to work all the time. Some, I know, I have friends that are single parents that are working two jobs just in order to make ends meet. So we have a problem which our government, unfortunately, has helped support. You know, they come out and they allow, the abortion, the illegal immigration. They, you know, they've gone against a moral code and instead have turned to money and power. And I have to go back to the earmarks that each of these politicians receive when they're in office from these special interest groups. They're getting millions of dollars per year to look the other way, to allow this kind of a society. And so what we are facing now are consequences of greed from our federal government. There's no other way to say it. You know, if you keep pushing, even if you're an atheist, you have to see at some point that we are pushing morality away, and here we have this society that is just going into a very dangerous direction, and it's not going to get better unless we, the people, say enough is enough. We want to take this back. I'm a homeschooling mother, and one of the things that I know for sure is to stop putting our kids in the public indoctrination system. I highly encourage homeschooling, and, you know, it's where people can stay home and learn, you know, family, moral values. That actually will help our society greatly. If we, the people, start running for office and taking control of our government, that will also help. I don't want to be the only, you know, patriotic American out there running for office. I hope that your listeners will, again, go and be encouraged. We have to stop voting for evil. You know, that lesser of two evils, what is it getting us? It is getting us where we are today. So when we say our prison system's overcrowded, we have to take responsibility. We have to say, well, you know what? We keep voting evil into office. We keep allowing the special interest groups, you know, to push, you know, our morality to a different direction. We keep allowing our government to take, you know, special interest money and, you know, increase the size of our population through criminal aliens that are coming here. And then we wonder why we're in the state in which we are in. So,
all right, well said. Well, of course, now one of the problems is really we don't have enough money to finance our prison system. So certainly we are in the process of either shifting our prisoners to other states. They're not telling the American people, but they're actually doing that. And then, of course, some people have said, well, look, how about many of the nonviolent criminals? Why, if we released them and we had the ankle bands on, so we would know exactly where they are. These are nonviolent criminals. I know maybe they're 6 months to a year from being released. I mean, and I'm going to pin you down on this because this is the sort of question that's going to come up.
Well,
if we don't have the money to actually keep them in, and certainly I think that when the next round of reality comes around and we suddenly begin to see that we're going to even get less income tax than they planned and less sales tax than they planned and less gasoline tax than they planned, and why, of course, then they're going to say, well, where are we going to cut next? Are we going to cut in the schools? Are we going to cut in the prisons? Are we going to cut, you know, the Medicaid benefits? Where are we going to cut? Because if you get to be the governor of the state of California,
I am not somebody who will encourage criminals to go out on the street. I am somebody who's going to encourage and curtail the mass illegal invasion into our state. Again, if we reduce the illegal population in our prisons in this state, well, that would drastically reduce the money right there. Also, again, you know what? It's our consequences. We, the American people, each of us, we need to take responsibility for the fact that this is where we are. Nothing is going to be resolved overnight. These are issues that are going to take some time. You know, if elected as governor, I will work my hardest to start resolving the issues, but it's not going to happen in one term, possibly even two terms. It took us decades to get to this point where we're at. It's going to take us decades to get out of this mess. But first things first, and one of the first things that we need to do is we need to start thinking about who we're voting for, why we're voting for them, We need to quit being party loyal. I don't believe in it. I believe we should be American loyal first, America first, and then you vote for the candidate, regardless of the party, who represents the Constitution the best. And if we start doing that instead of falling for the propaganda of, well, we can only vote for the two parties. Well, the two-party system, that two-party system is so corrupt with special interest money. So the first thing that we have to do is we have to rethink how we're voting, and we have to take responsibility and actions. And one of the things that we need to do is we need to fight amnesty, and we need to enforce our laws. If we do those, if we start taking these steps, the rest will follow. But nothing, there's no easy solutions for anything. I mean, we're going to have bumps in the road. But again, that's what's called consequences, and we need to deal with them. But if we don't start dealing with them now, if we think we have a mess now, wait another decade.
Well, of course, one of the big things is that the governor has been trying to get money from the federal government to actually fill in the deficits. If you were the governor, would you accept money from America? After all, it's money that the American taxpayers put in. Why shouldn't we take this back, you know, to help beat the problems we have here in the state?
You know, that's a very debatable issue. You know, when you start... I think the federal government needs to take responsibility for the situations in which they've created. You know, the illegal aliens, they need to take care of that. That is an issue they need to take care of. But accepting money from the federal government for things that are state issues, you know, what are we going to have to do in return? I believe in states' rights. I don't want to have to rely on the federal government. I think, again, we need to increase business in this state. Curtail illegal aliens. If we start doing those things, it will increase the economy in our state.
I hope that you'll look into the issue of a state bank that we can actually
yes,
begin
I
to
want
create
to.
Credit
Thank
here.
You.
And if you need information on that, we can
yes,
give it to the people a lot smarter than I am. Certainly my job is to raise the questions, and I agree with everything you've said this evening, Shalene. But my job, of course, is to ask provocative questions.
Yes.
The listeners out there thinking, we'll be right back. Well, Shalene, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a 1-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value, plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 316 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Believes there are lots of ways to God, and the Bible has simply got a lot of good stories in it, but it isn't necessarily the infallible Word of God. So George Bush sure sold an awful lot of Christian leaders on a lie when we met him at a meeting of the Christian leaders back in 1999. Most of the people, and they were good people, people I love and really respect, but I think there were only two of us who attended the last meeting when we interviewed George Bush. After interviewing all the other candidates, there were only two of us who saw through him. One was John Stormer, the other was myself. And everybody else supported George W. Bush because he professed to be a born-again believer who'd been led to the Lord by Billy Graham. Because he came up with the story before he ever went on the walk on the beach with Billy Graham that he described. It was all a charade. But a very effective one. I don't believe that Shalene is insincere at all. She comes through very, very well. I'm quite impressed. But then you're going to have to decide, and we'll have to talk to the other candidates. We can't endorse anybody at all. Our job, of course, is to bring you the information and let you decide what you think. Well, this is the time when I really need to let our listeners understand that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported, and quite frankly, a number of our supporters have had financial problems, and if you're in a position to help, we'd certainly appreciate it. We're having some shortfalls now, and we certainly want to be able to maintain our network of over 60 outlets every single week. So if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters and know more about our ministry, our number 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to know about George W. Bush and his phony Christianity, we carry a book. It's called Family of Secrets by Russ Baker. We've got a good supply of them on hand. That's Family of Secrets. If you want to understand the spiritual significance, prophetic significance of what's going on today, you need to get the DVD sets by Billy Crone, Pastor Billy Crone, on the final countdown. Part 1, which is 5 DVDs, and Part 2, which is 5 DVDs. Let me tell you, we've moved an awful lot of these, and an awful lot of people are beginning to understand what is happening today prophetically and spiritually. He does a good job. We do carry his book now. It's called The Final Countdown. We actually have a 5-CD set, the first 5 of his talks. We call it the Countdown to Armageddon. This is basically what he said on our radio programs. It's worthwhile listening to several times so you can begin to connect the dots and then help other people connect the dots and get your friends and family to watch The Final Countdown. You need to understand the prophetic significance of the events that are taking place today. Since you understand what's happening economically, my talk on the financial tsunami in the syllabus, my talk on the financial Armageddon in the syllabus, to understand the spiritual implications, you need our talk, The Brotherhood of Darkness and or the book, our talk on the final secret and the syllabus. The information is there. You need to get it. You need to help us get it out. We have so many wonderful 4-CD sets on the USS Liberty and the effort to kill all the men on board there. At the highest levels of our government, there were people plotting to kill our citizens. You need, of course, to understand Operation Northwood. We've got a complete copy of that in the Iraq, the Untold Story syllabus. You need, of course, to get our information on the effort to kill Bobby Kennedy. That's in the 4-CD set on the effort to kill Bobby Kennedy. And, of course, the Kill Patton, that's the book, Target Patton. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Please pray for Radio Liberty.